Good to see everybody this morning. I know that it seems like it's been about a year since I've got to see all of y'all. Some of you, that's the only jokes I got, people, okay? You're going to have to work with it. But no, it is good. And like Ladarius said, you know, resolutions are huge. Sometimes they're so huge they last 2 days, you know, and that's pretty good. If you can make it 2 days, you're doing really well. If you can make it a month, I would say you're beyond the average person. If you can make it a full year, I think you've done what most people would deem impossible. And so I kind of think that's interesting about the impossible. Because, you know, Christ talks about that a lot. He's always saying, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or, you know, for man it's impossible, but for God it is possible. And sometimes, you know, we think about, you know, our favorite scriptures. We go back and we'll quote them. And sometimes I think that we get to this point where we stop learning new scriptures. We just kind of stick with what we know. You know, if you talk about, you know, once again, some of the ideas of like McDonald's, you're like, I'm loving it, you know, kind of deal. Or Red Robin is yum, you know, Nike just do it, all these different things. We know it just right off of hand. But if you're like John 3:16, everybody's like, oh, yeah. Oh, hit that. Sorry, the microphone, you know, for those that are listening to recording, that's what that was. Anyways, but it's like, you know, if you go for John 3:16, it's like, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and they go on and on and on. But then when you say, okay, now what's John 3:17, you can hear crickets. I mean, like, nobody has a clue. And it's like, there's so much more than just learning scriptures. There's more impactfulness when you look at more of a whole. And so, like I said, John 3:16 is one of the big ones. But another one a lot of people like to quote is Psalms 23. And I kind of have an idea of how to break it down. And so that's where we're going to actually be today, is in Psalms 23. And we're going to kind of go and talk to you about it in detail. Sometimes when you look at the context, you understand it a little bit more deeper than just at face value. Because when you read something a couple of times, you may get kind of the gist of what it's going for, but when you go and you start to try to study what it actually means and how they would probably have saw it back when they, as JJ would say, the Jewish customs would be seen. So let's go there, if you don't mind. It starts off, it says, "The Lord is the shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He lieth beside me in still waters, and he restored my soul. He lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff will comfort me, and thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my cup overrunneth. Surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Okay, that's about as much we're going for right there. So, when we look at this, let's break it up in just kind of little sections here. It starts off saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." All right, that's relationship. When you look at the relationship between a shepherd and its sheep, you can see that it is a bond. Many times, I know we've gone over many different lessons, but you can understand that the fact that sheep are not the smartest animals. In fact, I would say that they're probably in the top, or the below 10% of the dumbest animals, okay? They're like way down there. Like, there's so many smarter animals. It's really sad. But that's just kind of how we are related to. But thank God that we have a shepherd that knows what he's doing. Thank God that he knows what we need and where we're headed towards. And the relationship there is one that he died for us. In fact, I know at one point we were learning about sheep and how that they would usually be stuck within these rock walls, okay? And they were just, you know, you could probably, as a human, probably jump over them of some sort, but it would keep out most of the predators outside of that. But there was a gate that was only one way in and one way out. And usually that's where the shepherd would lay. And so the sheep, when they would go to escape, would have to go over the shepherd. And the shepherd actually would stop the sheep from doing such, or stop the predators from coming in. And so it was the only way to get to us would be through Jesus. The relationship that we have with him is an amazing one. Not only has he stopped the predator and died for us But he has conquered and has the victory and kept us safe and gave us a chance to become one of his fold. All right, the next one talks about I shall not want. That's supply. I don't know if you realize, but wanting is a lot of things, okay? It's not even the needs, okay? You know, there's a difference between need and want. Obviously, the needs are stuff that we actually need to have, things that we actually should probably consider being our top tens, okay? It's something that we actually really should desire and have, like, you know, food and water and shelter, that kind of needs, okay? If you have, like, a particular, you know, want, it could be like a particular type of food or shelter or a particular type of drink, you know, something of the sort like that. But when you have the basic necessities, everything else is luxury. But it says, we shall not want. That means that God supplies more than just our needs. Okay, he supplies the things that we ask him for. I mean, I think Jimmy was talking about the wine into water. I mean, that was not something that they had to have. That was more of a want. You know, and his mom asked for it, and Jesus supplied it. I mean, when you think about it that way, you realize Christ understands, once again, our needs. But he also wants to help us and have that relationship with our wants. I mean, I would say it's no different than parents that just got done with Christmas, you know, and talking to Santa Claus and all. But actually, you know, helping their kids understand more of what, you know, the difference between need and want, but also help them with their wants. You know, that is Santa Claus. And so, you know, and then the next part, it said, he make me lie down in green pastures. That's rest. Boy, do we need that. In fact, most of the times we get overworked. Sometimes we feel underpaid. We have all these things that we just get into a rut and we're just like, man, I just wish I could take a break. And then when the breaks do happen, we're like, man, that was the quickest break ever. You know, that was too fast. But Christ gives us rest. You know, not only do we not have to worry, but he's giving us a chance to just be there, be relaxed. Understand that we're fully protected, that we have no worries, that we should not have to, even if we get separated, he comes after us. And so we really have no need to feel awake and have to be urgent and alert. We can just be there with Christ and enjoy his presence, knowing that all things will be taken care of when we are with him. Then it talks about that he layeth me down beside still waters. Well, that's refreshment. Once again, I told you about the sheep and how some of the things we've gone over. I believe this is one of them we've gone over before, but sheep will not drink if the waters are running, as far as making any kind of trinkling noises and stuff like that. It's just not their style. It makes them nervous, and you can force their face in it, and they still won't drink it. It's very odd and very dumb. You know, they could be thirsting to death, and you have to make it not move. They have to be very still waters. But the refreshment part of it is, you know, once again, he's taking care of our needs. He's also allowing us to be refreshed. You know, after he leads us, he gives us time to rest. He gives us time to, obviously, in this part of it, drink, to be replenished. So we can carry on and keep doing what we're doing. You know, there's many times that Christ will say something about, you know, he allows our cup to overfloweth. And it's for the idea of passing it on to others. You know, when we get to this point of Christianity, you know, it'd be one thing if we filled our own cup and that was it. But he gives us so much more than what our needs are. And he gives us over our wants that we should be able to help others, other Christians, and help them in their journey as well. And if we keep giving back to one another as well of what Christ has given to us, then we'll never have any desire for anything else. The family of Christ is beautiful. It's made to be self-sustaining within, you know, Christ and as within our Christian fellowship. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. And then he goes into talking about that he restoreth my soul. Well, that's healing. A lot of times we have a lot of trouble within our families, not just outside of all the craziness in the world gives, but sometimes we actually have sick. Sometimes we have people that need prayer. Sometimes we need people that, like Bubba, I know he just had back surgery, and he's got this cool new tool that he's got here. Yeah, I'm sure he can get up to 5 miles an hour, no problem. But, you know, it's one of those things, you know, healing. And it's not just a physical healing either. Even though that's great and that we can pray for Bubba, and I know that he really appreciates it. And it's great seeing you, by the way. But it's one of those things that is also a spiritual healing. Sometimes we go through something that's really strong and impactful. Sometimes it can be the loss of a loved one. And sometimes that's really hard for us to take care of. I mean, it's hard to imagine sometimes life without this significant other, whoever they are to us. And then to try to come back and have a positive attitude. Sometimes it's okay to cry. In fact, Christ even says, you know, sometimes we should weep with those that weep. You know, sometimes we forget that crying is sometimes a good time. It's a healing. It may not be our favorite part of scriptures, but it's something that we can do to heal along with others. So he does restore our soul. The next part, he leadeth me into paths of righteousness. That's guidance. Boy, and do we need that. Sometimes we can go down the wrong roads, not even meaning to. Sometimes we think we're doing what's right, and then we wake up at some point down the road and we realize, how did we get over here? This is not even where I wanted to be. And Christ sometimes will give us that wake-up call. Sometimes we will be thinking we're doing the right thing. I can't tell you how many times in the Bible that somebody was just close enough to what Christ was wanting to do, but they didn't have the full story. There's many times that they would actually, you know, they didn't know about they knew about baptism, but they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes they had to make it clear to them the fullness of God's love and everything that they were looking for. So sometimes we may be thinking we're doing and knowing the whole story, but we really need to be open-minded and stick with what God has to say. I always tell the guys at school, I'm like, I don't care what I have to say. I don't care what your preacher has to say. I don't care what your parents say. What is important is what the Bible says. And outside of that, it doesn't matter. Because your parents could be wrong. I could be wrong. Anybody can be wrong. But if, you know, I can't get you into heaven. I don't get a golden ticket. I don't have, you know, any kind of, you know, pull with God and saying, hey, come on, you know, I know he was kind of bad, but let's, you know, let him in anyway. I don't have that ability. But myself, I have to do that for me. I have to get myself in. All right. And the only way to do that is to understand his word. And that only comes from the Bible. Okay. So, you know, always check everything that people say. Don't just take it at face value. Make sure you see it for yourself in the Bible. Don't, you know, because a lot of times people will say something and it's really not there. And that's very scary. Like, for instance, the three wise men. You know, we just talked about Christmas. The three wise men. How many wise men were there? It doesn't actually say. It just says wise men. We know that there were three gifts. So the possibility of it is there. But sometimes we look at things a little bit different. In fact, the nativity scene in itself is kind of funny to me because the shepherds really never met the wise men. They were two different places. The shepherds met them in Bethlehem while the wise men met him in Nazarene back when he was a little bit older. It was kind of funny to me that people throw it together, but it's just how it is. So make sure, once again, you examine the Bible for yourself. Don't just take my word on it. Also, it goes into talking about for his name's sake. That's purpose. A lot of times we were like, well, what is the purpose of living? What is our goal in life? What is our things that we should be aiming towards? And honestly, that's everything that Christ is, his namesake. He says, in these things, you know, baptize people in my name. You know, people were casting out demons in his name. Everything that they were trying to do was always in his name because there's purpose there. Why do you do anything? I mean, if you really break it down, usually it's for something that, you know, is self-wanting, you know. Why do you work harder at work? Well, hopefully you get a promotion. Or at least higher pay, if not that. You know, there's reasons why we do stuff, but in Christ, we have a purpose, and it's him. You know, if we do Christianity for ourselves, and like, oh, well, I want to be a Christian because, well, you know, it's kind of cool, you get to eat the crackers and some juice. I mean, that's fantastic, you know. But we're missing a bigger picture then. And that's usually trying to be selfless. When you can totally take yourself out of the picture, and you're doing something for someone else, it's a much more rewarding thing. Christmas, once again, is close by, so I keep referencing back towards it. But to give a gift and really not expecting anything back And knowing that more than likely you probably won't get nothing back is an awesome gift to give. I don't know if you've ever got a chance to do that, but and of course sometimes that makes somebody else feel bad because they didn't think about you, but that's not the purpose of this idea. But when you give a gift to somebody who was not expecting it, and you get to see their joy of you thinking of them, even a little Christmas card, okay, anything of that sort, it's amazing to see that because you can see the enjoyment that they get out of it. And sometimes we need to just do things for other people's enjoyment so we can share that with them. And then it says, "Yea, though that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That one's a little bit harder. Sometimes people don't like that one because it sounds very scary. And that is true. It is. Shadow of death is not somewhere you want to just hang out. I mean, that's just, you know, I don't see that being a positive thing always. But it is testing. And we know that testing eventually works its way into preservation and giving us strength. We have this idea that testing is bad. But really, it shows us who we are. I mean, you can look back at Malachi chapter 3, and it talks about the silversmith and how they refined us. And really, to get our impurities out, is he has to hold us over a fire, okay? Or so say the silver. You would hold the silver over that, and the heat would get so hot that it actually drops the impurities out first. And a study was done, and I remember a small story about it, but the ladies' group was going and meeting with one of them, and they were like, "Well, how do you know when the silver is done? How do you know when it's, you know, all the impurities are out and it's done and it's ready?" He said, "Oh, that's easy. I can see my image in it." And I think that's the same way. When we're being tested, we drop these impurities or these flaws that we have, things that will not make us 100% what Christ wants us to, and we're dropping those out. And then, you know, we could burn to our death if he doesn't watch us. You know, testing could be terrible. But God knows when we're ready because he can see his image in us. Okay? That's why he says he's like the silversmith. So testing is not always a terrible thing. In fact, I've probably told you 100 times before, but they did a study at NASA talking about, you know, if the ozone layer was to be destroyed and oxygen starts to escape, we could live in a bubble. And so they had this bubble-like village that they had generators blowing air through, and you know, so you could breathe and whatnot. And they're like, "Well, what happens if that breaks down?" Well, they decided, well, obviously trees would probably be our best options, so they started planting them. Well, they would get up so tall, and then each one would break. Well, that doesn't make sense. They're planted in the same soil of the trees right outside, and they're growing just fine. So, as NASA always does, they have to study things and spend tons of money doing it. But what they ended up finding out is that they needed the wind, the force to push against a tree to make it stronger. I don't know if you noticed, but when the trees are really small, they have a very small trunk-like base. So the wind kind of just passes by. But as they get bigger, the trunk gets a little wider, so the wind pushes more direct at it. Okay, it's not just passing by as it once did. It actually is building up the strength of the tree. Just like you don't go when you're working out, you don't go to the 500 pounds and you know, start pumping it. All right, you've got to start off small. All right, it's the same thing. For testing purposes, we slowly build up. All right, God gives us things that we need to get us stronger. Sometimes it's not in our best thinking. Oh yeah, I want to be tested today. You know, but it does get us stronger. Then it gets to the next part, which I think is perfect, right after the testing. It says, "I will fear no evil." That's protection. I don't know how many people go through life and they're like, you know what? You know, you see the little stickers on the back of these vehicles that say, you know, no fear or something like that. And of course, usually it's, you know, the bumper's hanging on just barely. But, you know, you see all these stickers and whatnot. But when you're a Christian, the beauty is you really have no fear. If you really trust in God, then you know that whatever happens is for His glory. Whether you live or whether you die. I think that's, Paul said, Paul or Peter, I'm trying to always get those guys confused. I think it was Paul that said, if, you know, to die is to gain Christ, but to live is to gain others to Christ. You know, he was at a stage that whether he lived or died, it didn't matter. He was going to be serving God. He knew his purpose. For his namesake. So, We don't have to fear. And then it says, "For thou art with me." Okay, so we know that we have testing, then we have this evil that we shouldn't fear, and then that he will be with us. That's faithfulness. Once again, you know, he talks about how faithful he is, that his promises will endure, and that what he says is going to happen. We know that whatever he does is going to be faithful, and we can trust and put our words in that. And tell that to others and let them know that what is said from Christ and God will be true. And it's something we can put our whole trust in. Then he says, "For thy rod and thy staff will comfort me." That's discipline. I don't know if a lot of people like that one, because that means that we get punished sometimes. But sometimes sheep start to wander off, and you got to kind of knock them back into place, so to say. You know, grab them with the shepherd's hook, and pull them back in and be like, "Look, man, you need to stay with the rest of the sheep. Don't be going off wandering," And so, you know, growing up, I was probably the most stubborn-willed child ever. I know it's hard to believe, but I was. And there was many times that we had this like den-like area that had this furniture usually in the middle, oddly enough, with this pole that was holding up the whole center of the room. And me and my dad, I can't tell you how many countless times that we had gone around and around and around. And of course, now thinking back, I'm like, I don't know why my mom didn't just stop in and like stop me. But it was kind of like, I guess it was entertaining for her, because me and dad, you know, would just run around. And he would be like, "Jared, you stop." And I said, "No." I said, "You don't understand. This is what happened." And I would just try to tell him, you know, try to reason with the man. Let me tell you, first of all, there's no reasoning with him, okay? It's in his mind. It's done, okay? I don't care. It took hours sometimes, it felt like. There's no reasoning with him. And then eventually, I gave up, and he would catch me. And then, of course, I'd go back to my room. And that was when the pow-pow happened, and it was not fun. But I can tell you, I think I'm a better person because of it. I would say that these people nowadays that may not want to spank as much are probably missing out some of the instructions of the Bible, maybe, because I think the Bible, there is instructions for raising children, and it is the Bible, and I think we should stick with that. You know, they're like, "There's no manual." Okay, well, that's great. There is a manual within the Bible. It tells us what we need to do. Then it talks about, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That's hope. You know, we can get surrounded by all kinds of people that may not like us at all. And, you know, going back to saying, you know, the testing and the protection and faithfulness and discipline, all this different stuff. But we get to this hope that when we are surrounded by our enemies, that we will have a chance that we really don't even have to do anything. That Christ takes care of that for us. In fact, there's other scriptures that talk about that, you know, he makes him a footstool for us. But we have hope in the fact that whatever's going on in our lives, he's going to take care of. And we know that he's faithful. And so when we get to this idea that enemies are surrounding us, that we're completely captivated, there's nothing that we can do to get out. Christ always will come back. In fact, I think it was either Elijah or Elisha that had his servant there, and they were in the city, and they were fully surrounded. And the servant was like, "Oh, we're not going to make it out. This is not good." And, you know, Elijah said that, "You know what? If you, Lord, will just open the eyes of my servant and let him see what I see, that would be fantastic." And so he allows that to happen. And all of a sudden you see the Lord's army surrounding them. And it's just kind of like, sometimes we don't put enough thought into Christ has our back. I mean, he is our brother and God is our father. And he does love us. And he will be with us, especially if it's within his will. He does care about us. He does want us to serve him and to follow him. But he will take care of us if we do such. And so sometimes we have this faith that's hard to hold to, but because we don't always see it. But God does and will protect us. And we have this hope that one day, even in the face of all our enemies, he will be the victor for us. Then it says that he anoints my head with oil. That's concentration. I think that's what I wrote down there.
Concentration?
Yeah. Consecration. That's what I'm looking for. Yes, thank you. Boy, you start reading these over again, you're like, man, I don't remember how to say this word, or that's one of those things. But we have this idea that we are now part of this greater picture, because there are different places in the Bible where it talks about elders going and laying down hands and going to see the sick, and they would put this oil on them. And it's kind of like we understand like a healing practice, that we are somehow united within God's love, not just with Him, but with each other. It is a vertical, horizontal kind of deal. And that this here, we actually are able to be loved in such a way that He wants us to be taken care of, and that we are able and understandable to be anointed by when we're within His love and within His service to Him. Because when you think about all the things that we get ourselves into sometimes, we need that forgiveness. We need that that love that He shows. Then we get into where He talks about my cup runneth over. I kind of did a spoiler alert earlier, but it's abundance. It's an abundance. It's more than what we need. It's more than what we really want. It's continuous. When you put everything you have into knowing Christ and having the wisdom to act upon all the wonderful joys that he allows us to be a part of, we should have overrunneth cups to the point that, you know, we don't get burnt out as quickly, that we have each other to rely on, that we have all this beautiful help and family that we come see every Sunday and Wednesday, and hopefully more than that when we get chances to. Because when we do, we help each other out. Not only does Christ do that, but he gave us a family that, because we love Him and He loved us, that we were able to also help each other out. And that's beautiful abundance. Beautiful abundance. And then it says, surely to goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's a blessing. And it's a continuing blessing, because it's all the days of my life. You know, it's one thing to say a year, you know, 365 days, but it's more than that. It's every breath is a blessing, and goodness and mercy, and we need that. We need goodness. We need that in our life so we understand what that looks like, so we can also share that with others. And we also need mercy, us personally, as well as us giving mercy to one another. And we need to have that all the days of our lives, because we know that Christ did that for us. One of the hardest things I've ever tried to think about is if I was, you know, putting myself in Christ's shoes on the day that He was being crucified, and He says, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That would be really hard for me to think about it that way, because I would be really mad, first of all, that I was, you know, purely justice and had nothing wrong with me, and that here they are crucifying me. I would probably get very mad. I find myself doing that when I feel like I'm being treated wrong. I get really mad at whoever that is. And so for me to forgive somebody when they put me in that situation, it's kind of hard to think about that you would forgive them. Now, you know, in hindsight, now that I know what actually was going on, you can see that they needed the forgiveness, because they truly did not know what they were doing. And yet, Christ still died for them. I mean, He died for them as well. The ones that He said, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And sometimes I need to take a seat back and kind of meditate on that and realize that when bad things happen to me, that it's okay, you know, that maybe they don't know what they do. And that's just really hard to swallow sometimes for me. But then it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. I mean, if you're looking for all these, you know, these radons, 675s, and these things that AT&T and all these things that go into your house that will secure you and everything, it's nothing compared to the safety of what Christ has. You know, the house of the Lord is such a wonderful place. In fact, if it doesn't have the alarm systems, it probably has wide open doors, but with Christ there, there's no need to fear. It's the best security we can have. I mean, like I said, you know, with the sheep idea, if one of us get lost, He comes and finds us. I mean, that's kind of cool. You know, it's not just guarding guarding our house, but it's also guarding us and keeping us safe. You know, the beautiful security of Christ, and when we actually rely on Him, He wants to give us these things, which is more than just our needs. And then it says forever. That's eternity. And I think that's what we're all eventually aiming for. When you look at the idea of all of Psalms 23, you see that we are fully supplied for. Because we have relationship, we have supply, we have rest, refreshment, healing, we have guidance, we have purpose, we have testing that makes us stronger, we have protection and faithfulness and discipline, we have hope, and then that word I can't say.
What was it?
Concentration, yes, thank you. Boy, that's going to get me one day. We have abundance and a blessing and security and then eternity. And I think, once again, that's what we're all aiming for, is all these other things is such a blessing. But to have it forever and for always, this eternity within Christ, we now understand why Psalms 23 is probably one of the most quoted ones, probably outside of just under John 3:16. But when you really look at it, I understand why a lot of people like it, because it's more than enough. It's everything, and it's such a beautiful picture that He lays out there for us. And for eternity, that's amazing. That's something that I think we can all really put in our minds, that that's really what we want. And He freely gives that to us when we call upon Him, and that we are, you know, go into the waters of baptism, that we can see that our lives are changed. You know, because it's always been a faith and action based, you know, works and faith comboed. And we know that the love that He shows for us is abundant and forever and ever. So, as we stand and sing our next song, if anybody has any thoughts or questions, or even just wants prayers, or if you would like to be added to the family of Christ, then we would love to have you as we come and sing.